Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business? Hey, peeps, I've got another great repeat guest here. He is the man, the myth, the legend, and the purveyor of bacon. His name is the only, the one and only, Warren Whitlock. Warren, how you doing, man?
Bacon.
Bacon.
Bacon. It's like, dude, we could have a whole conversation just with different tones on bacon. Great to be here. Always good to work with you. Good content and a wonderful audience.
Thank you, sir. It's a pleasure talking with you as usual, and you always have the best stories. So let's dig deep, man. Let's go right for the jugular. This year, I've started my podcast down a road of thought leadership in influencer marketing. So one of the things I'm doing is I'm interviewing a bunch of owners of companies or high-level people in companies. But really what I want to talk about is, in this noisy world that we're in right now, what are some of the things that people need to think about as far as being an influencer? Because, man, there are so many people out there who call themselves influencers, who are treated like influencers, but really aren't coming up with some new and exciting stuff. So what do we need to do, Warren?
I don't know that you need to be new and exciting, but you need to be known. And one other philosophical thing about this is seeing business, seeing life as a series of experiences. I quite often say that what we want out of life is connections and stories. We want to meet people. We want to have relationships. And this doesn't matter whether or not talking about your family all the way to, you know, getting a new customer. It's, we make connections with other human beings. It's a universal need. We all have a desire to connect with other people. And then the rest is sharing stories. And when I say sharing stories, I mean, you know, you and I talk about what we've done before, but then, like right now, we're creating a new story of doing a podcast together. And it's all about those experiences. And when you fail to see that in your business, you're missing out on, gosh, 99% of the good for the world. I've got, you know, we could talk all day on my problems with economics that we try to measure everything in dollars, but this being a business, you know, audience and business that we're talking about, let's stick to what's good for business. It is good for your business to give customers a great experience. And I'll give you the best of all on that is Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Most of a trip to Disneyland, Disney World, you know, we're not prejudiced, but you know, we have the original out here in the West Coast. you know, I grew up wanting to go to Disneyland, getting taken to Disneyland a couple of times, you know, then getting to a point where I was mobile as a teenager and wanting to go all the time. And then the dread of taking the kids there. And when I look back on overall what going to Disneyland is, it's a lot of standing in line, very expensive way to spend a day. You know, a lot of walking, you're always tired at the end of the day and interrupted by a few minutes. Oh, and bad food, expensive bad food, and interrupted by a few great moments that are just, you know, stupendous, that make up for everything else. And, so that's the experience that we remember is those few moments. We don't dwell on the fact that the lines were long. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just saw that mentioned in a book, and I got thinking about the last time I went to Disneyland. I had a daughter that was about 7. We get to the gate, we're ready to leave, and that's when she tells us that she has to have a crown. It's you know, circle. It's a wire or plastic in a circle and lots of glittery stuff dangling from it.
Every girl wants to be a Disney princess, right?
Of course. And so, And that was it. And she hadn't, she didn't like days before talk about, I'm going to be a princess or anything like that. It was just, hey, everybody else has a souvenir. I want one. This is what I want. I'm like, yeah, but I've got, you know, a bunch of kids and we're all tired and we're at the gate ready to go. Isn't there something at the souvenir shop here we can buy? And, you know, and of course I did what every parent would do. We all traipsed back to the place where we could buy that hat and, you know, paid, you know, and I'm calling it a hat and it's just, you know, some string. And I can't overemphasize how cheap of a gift this thing was in construction. And of course it didn't last very long and we paid, you know, $8 or $10 for it. And again, it was to keep the make the kid happy. Or keep the kid quiet on the ride home. I'm not sure which. No, keep the kid, make the kid happy. And I think of that, and I think of the joy of, on my daughter's face as she got that. And I'm going, I hadn't thought of it for years. And ever since, it's been about a week or two since I last read this. And I thought, man, this really was the point. That was it. We did that. And, you know, it's, I got plenty of other stories where a little minute makes a big difference, but that's mm-hmm. it. Be looking for that sort of thing, which gets us back to why be a thought leader. Mm-hmm. What people want to do business with those that they know, like, and trust. And so somebody in your business has to stand out. Don't send out emails from we, send it from you. Don't talk about corporate policy, talk about what's best for customers. And everything you do, just start thinking and focusing on that experience. When you do, you know, one of the things they want to do is talk to the person that knows. I can remember having my brick and mortar business and hiding. You know, I didn't literally hide, but I was, you know, I kept my office someplace where it wasn't by the front door. Because, you may know I like to talk and customers come in and I love my customers. And they come in and I say hi to them. The next thing I know is 45 minutes have gone by and I go, oh, that's wrong. And so I tried not to do that. And the people came in, they got taken care of and they left. Boy, if I had to do it again, I'd be out there all the time. That's what I do all day, is making sure every customer loves us and then teaching all my employees to do the same thing, to make sure that every person comes in the door and says, wow, these people really care. They really want to do something. And you don't care by saying, we're going to care. You do it by caring. And that leads to where do you get out to a wider audience, which naturally is what thought leadership is all about. You blog, you podcast, you go attend events, you speak, and you do those things. And pretty soon people think you're an expert. And I've done it again and again in multiple industries. Hey, I'm a smart guy. I read a lot, so I do know about things. And mm-hmm. that's the way it is in your business. No matter what you're doing, you're a subject matter expert at some things compared to the general population. You may not be the top, but then that's where connections and networking get to go into this. And you say, who knows more than me? That Brian knows a lot about bacon. I want to go on his podcast and learn about bacon. And so, I mean, you know, it's now become like a goal in my life to find the next bacon meme that you haven't seen. And I think it's near impossible.
You'd be surprised. I get new ones all the time and it's amazing. People keep finding those things and that defines a brand really, really well. I mean, you always think about bacon, you think about me. So to get people to think about you in blockchain is something that I never would have put together, because I know you as the quote unquote Twitter guy and the laser printer guy. But how do you take this kind of thought leadership and then actually turn it into business? I mean, that's really what this is all about.
Yeah. Just a little bit more about the blockchain thing is that I found, you know, I was reading about it because I read about everything, and especially tech, anything that's move us to the future. I think that's where I best help clients, is helping them think about things they don't normally think about. So, you know, in 2010, 11, 12, I'm reading about it. I ran into a guy who was actually the PR guy running mining. And so he ended up doing the PR for Ethereum when it came out. And he is one of the biggest names in blockchain. With my audience, I can, you know, I can look like I'm one of them, but this is a guy that's been in there, in the finance, in the back room of everything for years. And we happened to go to the same dinner and we're friends. And so we wound up sitting next to each other and I started asking him a bunch of questions about Bitcoin. And, you know, I don't want to mine Bitcoin. And he's going, well, you could do this, this, and this. I'm going like, I like this. This is going to be a topic I keep track of. You know, I keep track of solar energy and, you know, health tech. I see some of these things as just being very important for the future, even if I'm not currently making any money off of it. And so I found out about a guy that was speaking at a fintech conference here in Las Vegas. And so I went, went and watched him talk, and he puts up this slide that's about transferring money from South Africa to Uganda, 23%. And I said, you can't do any business if you got to pay 23%. And we were writing a book called Billions Rising about the billions of people that are going to come online and get out of poverty. So I started thinking, how could that work? And why not? We need these cryptocurrencies. So to me, I guess you should be able to tell by how much I ramble about it. I really think this is an important world-changing thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. And after a while, sharing stories and having a large audience, it didn't take long, and I became a recognized expert on Bitcoin. And then in the past year, all this ICO activity started happening, and suddenly I'm in demand for knowing something. In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So it's like, and that's it. That's in so many areas. That's how you become a thought leader. If there's a subject you want to know about and it's not your business and what you've been doing, start reading a book on the topic. You know, listen to the podcast. Find whatever else. Network with the other influencers. And in a year's time, you'll know more than most everyone everywhere. When you dedicate to reading one book a week on a subject, in a year's time, you beat everybody. If you subscribe to the blogs, the podcasts, you pay attention, pretty soon you'll know. Put up a Google alerts on any subject. It does not take long and you'll know more than most everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that you're the leading person for coming up with new ideas, but boy, if you're ever going to be the thought leader and really have groundbreaking ideas, you have to do that anyway. So get known and then keep studying until you are the thought leader that you want to be. And there's very little hurdles to getting known. Remember, you don't have to be the number one ever to know everything about it. You have to know more than most people or the people that you're serving.
Well, and the question becomes, so with all of this, I mean, you know, obviously converting thought leadership into business is getting people to pay attention. And you know what I know, how noisy it is out there. And there's the whole new quote unquote fake news, where it's getting harder and harder for people to actually say, is this guy really know what he's talking about? Or is he just copying and pasting gunk?
Remember, it's getting to know, like, and trust somebody. Mm-hmm. So it can't be that you're going to do this and say, oh boy, maybe I'll post an article on LinkedIn and I'll be the expert. That helps. Having a blog, calling yourself the expert. If you start a podcast and then go to people and say you'd like to interview them on the podcast, almost everybody says yes. Take some practice. I'm occasionally meet somebody who say, well, I'm going to turn down for guests. But then, I then ask them how they ask and what they're doing. And they go, oh, okay. There's always a hole in it. The process is pretty simple. You want to get to know somebody, you find them on social media, you follow them. And instead of asking them for a favor or asking whether or not they would feel like helping you, you start helping them. And it doesn't take very long until the reciprocity kicks in and they want to help you. So that's the other influencers, which again, that's what influencer marketing is. Finding the influence, help. Aim at people that aren't your direct competitors. You know, it's not about I'll get the business when I become the thought leader. It's let me take care of people like I am the thought leader and learn to be that person. There's no like government agency that says you're a thought leader. You know, you don't get a license. There's no school to go to. It's you're a thought leader because you are leading people. One of my favorite networking stories ever is that somebody that wanted to get to a person that was on the board of, I think it was Home Depot, big company, you know, Pepsi or Home Depot or, you know, some Fortune 500 name. Mm-hmm. And so what they did was they started investigating and found out that person really cared about dog rescue. And so they went and joined the same dog rescue place. Well, that's old school. I mean, that story's like 30 years old since I heard it. Today, all I have to do is go on LinkedIn, you know, find out what you're talking about and like, comment, share the best stuff, only the good stuff. You know, it's not like you're not a bot. You don't go in and click like on everything they ever did. That looks like a stalker. You know, you don't comment on everything and you don't leave a comment with your contact information saying, please come help me. No, you go out and you do genuinely good for other people. Blog comments. Well, I'm sure I've asked you before, Brian, if somebody comes to the Bacon podcast page and leaves a comment, do you read it?
I not only read it, but I always comment back.
And quite often probably makes your day to see that somebody bothered to comment. So right. Fake news can't do that. Fake news is hiding. I mean, and by fake news, let's not even talk about whether or not somebody is factually right or whether it doesn't matter. Because first of all, kind of stuff we're talking about is opinion. A thought leader has an opinion. It could be totally proved wrong, but they have an opinion. And so, you know, you go out and you talk about things that matter. What the quote unquote fake news problem is that people are manufacturing content to try to get attention. Well, if you go and try to fight against those people, you're going to wind up in the mud with them. Or in the swamps, as some people say, and while they're out worrying about draining the swamp or how much mudslinging they're going to do, go out and be the clean guy. Go out and say, hey, this is wonderful. This is a good thing. Let me share things that are good with the world. Wow. Just listen to the Bacon podcast. It's wonderful. You should listen too, because I really feel that way. I really want to help people. And then when somebody replies, I talk to them. And that's influence in a nutshell. There are better things you can, I mean, faster things you can do. You can buy influencers by, if I come to you and say, hey, Brian, I really like your show and I like your audience. I'd like to get in front of them. Here's $10,000 a month for a sponsorship. You might want to talk to me.
I'll take it.
Yeah. And before I give you the $10,000, I'm a little bit smarter than just handing it out. I go like, hey, how about we take that $10,000 and make it $5,000 to you because you work hard and $5,000 on some advertising or whatever it takes to build up the show? Or wait a minute, I'm big company and I want to get known. I'm going to feature you on my website and help you grow your audience. And maybe I don't pay you $10,000. Maybe what I do is send you a new audience. The deals that can be made are all, you know, are just awesome. I mean, most people think of like, well, how many downloads do you have? And we'll pay you for every down. No, it's like you're generating great content. You're a good person. I know that. Mm-hmm. If I was working on one of those campaigns, I'd contact you and say, hey, let's work together. Let's come up with something that is helpful. I don't have enough hours in the day to share all the great stuff I find. Mm-hmm. And, you know, read my Twitter feed. It's going to have, you know, some, I think one day last summer, I did 275 tweets. I just kept finding things to share. And that's my best influencer story. I started sharing solar and it didn't take very long. And I was a leading influence in solar energy. Not because I was a leading provider of solar energy or I knew the technical. I've since learned a whole lot because I got into learning about it, but because I could share that there's a $2 billion project with 14 companies in Kenya. And it had such a great picture. I made it my wallpaper on my desktop. I just go like, this is great. It's got this nice, well-lit school next to a solar farm. And, you know, and the amount of money made it and the size made it like the largest thing happening in Africa. And I'm thinking like, solar's, you know, coming along, but And then I started looking for the larger solar installation, and I just went to the next thing and the next thing. In 2 hours' time, I found a bunch of stuff that I loved and I wanted to share with people. I tagged it Solar Energy. It was the middle of the night, and I just got carried away, went to sleep, woke up the next morning, and I'm finding out, you know, I look at like, man, I'm getting lots of traffic off of people talking about solar. People really care about solar energy. They, you know, some were detractors, but what it did was it built an audience of people that were engaged and cared, and they knew that I was engaged and care. And so, you know, and that went a little while. I still post about solar energy, but, you know, I got into blockchain, doing more of that. And so whatever it is you care about with a passion, if that happens to be your business, great, but it doesn't have to be. Please, will you come and buy from me? And that's the whole idea of being a thought leader instead of a huckster is, right. You know, what can I do to really make the world a better place?
So let me summarize. So the key thing that we're talking about with thought leadership is, number one, you have to have a passion of what it is that you want to educate people on. You have to educate yourself. You have to really care about people. And then you have to spend time being a thought leader who people are going to pay attention to because you care about the subject and really don't want anything in return. Is that kind of sum it up?
Yeah, I couldn't put it better myself. I'm, you know, if you want to be a thought leader, you do what a thought leader does. You help people and you do what you can to serve the world.
Well, Warren, I know you're short on time and I really appreciate you spending the time with us today. If people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
WarrenWhitlock.com or Warren Whitlock on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find me. Google me. If you are listening to this someplace other than the home of the Bacon Podcast, be sure to go there and subscribe and follow everything Brian Basilico does because he likes bacon.
I do love bacon, man. Well, thank you so much for dropping some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. I really appreciate you and your time. And once again, man, it's a pleasure. We got to do this more often.
Okay.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.